Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
We have concluded our series on marriage, and those of you who didn't get to be with us for all of that, I want to encourage you to go online, and those are all posted, and feel free to share those. But today, we're going to kind of wrap up a couple things, because we had scheduled in between our series. I usually put a flexible Sunday in case there's some things I want to double back and readdress, or some things that I feel like need to be done. And this was one of those Sundays. This is that we don't really have anything scheduled. But as we went through our marriage series, it became evident that there was a big area that I think I neglected, and so I kind of want to talk about that here today, because for several weeks, again, I hate the word single. I've never liked that word. I don't know why. I can't think of a single reason. That's a joke. Anyway, and here's why. When I was young, I kind of resented it. And to our unmarried folks in the church, I think it's certainly not intentional, but unintentionally, certainly in a church setting, it can be a place of obscurity, a place where sometimes there can be some unintended discrimination and some unintended stigmas, and that's not okay. I have 5 points for everybody today. 5 points. Am I getting noted here? Okay. No, it says 7 more points. Actually, this is going to, okay. I do have 5 points for you today, but they go quickly. Our first point is simply this. Singleness should not be viewed as a curse, but rather a calling. Okay, it's not a curse. It is not a curse. And so much church programming, as I've looked, even at our church programming, another church, and I've spoken with other pastors, and the deal is, a lot of times, so much of our programming, we try to be pro-family, 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 and so what can happen is there can be the unintended consequence of causing, our unmarried to kind of feel like they're not there. And so often churches are insensitive to the needs of the unmarried. I mean, we see that all around. We hear of those things. I remember as a young man, our church, we were having a marriage seminar, and I decided that I was going to go to the marriage seminar as an unmarried person. And I got a whole lot of looks, and I said, they're like, why are you here? And I was like, well, I'd like to learn. And they're like, oh, good for you. Really patronizing. And I was like, well, but I got to be honest, walking by, it was kind of like a kid walking by the teacher's lounge. I kind of wondered what really happened in there. As students, have you ever walked by the teacher's lounge and wondered what was happening there and what was really going on? I thought about how can I say it? People would say, what are you doing? I actually heard some friends who used that phrase, well, I'm married to Jesus, but that just sounds weird, when you kind of say that and things like that. So I didn't want to go there. But I recognize as I look back and I reflected and I talk with other people that there certainly can be a sense of awkwardness in church. And so I would rather have an honest discussion about it and deal with any elephants that are in the room rather than to ignore them. Unmarried should not be viewed as projects to be completed. I have to say that because these are things that I felt. I felt like I was always the project that needed to be completed. And to that end, I'd say that unmarried don't need to be fixed, and they sure don't need to be fixed up every 35 seconds. So that was another thing that I just always felt was happening. It was everybody was always getting in my business trying to say, well, you need to do this, and you need to do this, as if there was something wrong and something, and that was troublesome. And so as a young person, I remember struggling with that, and in talking with individuals and in doing some research, I really get that understanding that sometimes the church can give some messages that aren't intended. And so to our unmarried, I apologize. That's certainly not the intent. And that's even if singleness is for a season. Okay, if singleness is for a season, there's not anything wrong with you. It's not that you don't measure up. It's not that you need to be fixed or fixed up. It's okay. It's okay to want to be married. And that's the other thing. It's okay to have that desire. There's absolutely nothing wrong with it. But I want, now against that, you need to understand what we talked about last week. Marriage alone was not created to meet all of our needs. And sometimes there's a fallacy that marriage is going to fix any problem in your life. I got to tell you, sometimes marriage creates some others. Amen. Oh, you all did such good in my marriage seminar that now you're going to say it. Yeah. We had this member of our family, my brother-in-law's father, and he had a handful of sayings. And one of his most famous sayings was this. And he'd always say, "I never knew how good life was till I got married. Then it was too late." So, you know, there's always that understanding. And so here's where I'm getting at, to our unmarried, is what I recognize both in myself and what I recognize in talking with pastors and talking with unmarried is there are too many unmarried who refuse to embrace God's calling on their lives at that moment. Okay? And it's a calling. It's a calling for where you are. So, and our first scripture here today is Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 through 13. Paul is writing, and the contextual, if we want to contextualize this so we understand this, is not talking, you know, sometimes we're like, Paul's sitting at the free throw line thinking, am I going to make this basketball shot? And that's what this verse is about. No, that's not what this verse is about. This verse is about enduring. Everybody say enduring. Where God has called you to be. It's about holding on to the faith in the midst of hard times. Okay, that's what we're talking about. He says, "For I have learned in whatever situation I am to be what? Content." No, you know, sometimes we would read that, "I've learned in whatever situation I am to be critical." That's not what the Word of God says, but that's often how we present our lives, right? Paul's saying, look, no, I've learned, again, I've learned. That's a process. I've learned to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound in every circumstance. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. And so my next point for us here today, as we're just moving right along, is this. God is the strength of both the married and the unmarried. Just like I spoke for all these weeks about God being the strength of marriage, it is no different that God is also the strength for the unmarried. And the church has, as I think, done sometimes a pretty poor job of that. And thus, what people end up doing is, well, how do we have our social needs met? Well, we have to go to the bars, or we have to go clubbing, or we have to do something else. And there's not the ability. Look, Christ is the one who meets our needs. God is the strength of both the married and the unmarried. And to the unmarried, there's a fallacy that sometimes that life doesn't start until you're married. That's not true. Life does not start once you're married. Sometimes it feels the opposite, but it's not. You know, the truth is, it's one of those pieces where people sometimes put off, you know, their life or their ministry or anything else until they get married. Once I get married, then everything's going to change, and they have that Facebook life, because so many people, to the married in the room here today, are there days that you wouldn't want to post on social media? Just wondering. Are there ever moments in your life you think, well, I just really, it's just not wonderful? Right? Not everything is a Facebook moment. Not everything is an Instagram meal. There are some meals that wouldn't make it, right? I just better back off. I can hear where I'm at today. Yeah. And when, and it is, I'm not, no, I didn't mean it like, God. I've made my share. This is a strategic coffee drink. I'm not thirsty. I'm just giving it time to step aside. Okay, so God can sustain you wherever you are. In our married, God can sustain you. In our unmarried, God can sustain you. Okay, and that is an important thing. And yes, it can be tough. And now Paul is writing this, and it's important to know something about Paul. Because everybody kind of has this connotation at this moment when Paul was writing that then he went home to the missus and sat down. No, that's actually not the case. Okay, we're going to read here in just a few moments that Paul has some experience in this topic where he is beginning to address. Paul, at some time in his life, Paul may have been married, but we do know as he's writing in just a few minutes, we're going to read a verse that shows us that at this moment he is not married. Okay, he could have been a widower. Him and his spouse could have broke up, but he could have never been married. We are really not for certain. Theologians have a lot of different thoughts, but what we can read is what Paul says to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 through 9. He's giving us some understandings of when we are struggling in these times. So he says, and this is going to be kind of PG rated here, but here we go. Now, concerning the matters about which you wrote. So the church wrote him. This is what I love. A church that says, we got some problems and here's some areas that we have problems. And Paul is addressing these issues, okay? Now everybody just take a breath, because it's good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman. But because of the temptation to sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband. The husband should give his wife her congenial rights and likewise the wife to her husband. A lot of people right now are circling, and that's the only verse you're going to memorize in your Bible. Shame on you! Lighten up. Can everybody just lighten up and take a breath? Whew, I didn't know church was going to be like this today. Yeah. Going on, verse 4. For the wife does not have the authority over her own body, but the husband does. And husband said, all right. I'm not thirsty. Moving on. Likewise. The husband does not have authority over his own body. Over his own body. But the wife does. And all the wives said? Amen. There were more wives that said amen than husbands. Because husbands were really smart not getting into that one. Okay. Verse 5. Do not deprive one another except perhaps by agreement for a limited time, that you may devote yourselves to prayer, but then come together again, so that Satan may not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. A lot of people are like, where was this in our marriage lessons? The truth is, this is important. Okay, so here's my point. Gang, there are topics that we don't talk about in church that we really ought to. There are topics that we have said, oh, no, we just have to let everything else say its word on this, when the word of God really isn't silent on this. We are human beings. We have desires, and they're not evil, and they're not dirty, and they're not wicked. They were created by God for the context in which, everybody say, for the context, in which God created them. Beautiful and wonderful. Going on here in verse 6. Now, as a concession, not a command, okay, he's specifying, he's writing, they asked him the question and now he's answering. He says, I say this, I wish that all were as I myself am, but each has his own gift from God, one of one kind and one of another. To the unmarried and to the widows, I say that it is good for them to remain single as I am. But if they cannot exercise self-control, they should marry. For it is better to marry than to be aflame with passion. Okay? So we know that at this time, Paul is not married. We don't know a lot of the specifics there. Again, there's a lot of different schools of thought on this. We don't know if it was due to divorce or if it was due to death. But here's what we do know. God sustained him. And it necessarily wasn't easy. And just like marriage isn't easy, okay? And I know when we went through that whole piece and all the married were like, yeah, you're right, it's not easy. But being unmarried is not easy, okay? Being widowed is not easy. Being single is not easy. It is difficult. But God can sustain you. The burn is real. Those things are very real. The desire for physical intimacy, again, it's not evil, it's not wrong, it's not bad, it's not dirty. And I know many of you right now are saying, please, Lord, would you just have the preacher move on from this topic? That's the problem. The church has moved on from topics that we really ought to speak about, and thus our teaching's all over the place, or not at all, and we're just assuming that people are going to get it. Parents, have these conversations with your children. And I'm going to tell you, my girls hate having these conversations with their dad. Like, please, Lord, let that move on. But it's important that... Am I correct, lady? She's lying. I
I'm not thirsty.
All right. No, the truth is this. You got to have the conversations. You have to talk. You have to talk. And you can't say, well, I'm just going to send them to Sunday school and that gets me off the hook. No, it doesn't. We are a family. We are a church family. I mean, it's the best way that we can understand what we are to one another. All right. I'm your crazy uncle, whatever you need to think of me as. But we are a family together. And so we need to have communication to the next generation and be consistent on these things. All right. When physical intimacy gets reduced to just a random transaction and it has no value, it has no intrinsic value of itself, that God didn't purpose and create it for something that's wonderful and is good and is great and is awesome. When we have just reduced it to just some act, that just some itch that needs to be scratched and we just move on, it doesn't mean anything, we have lost. We have lost so many underpinnings to our society. Marriage is important. Family is important. And whether you're married, whether you're single, whether you're widowed, widower, whatever, you are part of the family. And so we need to encourage and to help one another. Next point. Honor your calling to God as you would honor a calling to marriage. And this is for the unmarried. Honor your calling. God has called you where you are. God has called you at this point. He's got a calling on your life wherever you are. Whatever circumstance you are in, God has a calling on your life there. And that calling on your life is to glorify Him. So in your marriage, you're called to marriage to glorify God in your marriage. In unmarriedness, you have a calling to glorify God wherever you are. Whether it's a season, whether it's not, and all those things. God is here and God wants to be glorified in your life. And so to help us do that, gang, we have to be honest with our feelings. And sometimes that's where we can get groups together and that's where we can find people who have similar circumstances and situations and be able to share with one another. And the other thing is we need to not flee accountability. I remember in late in my college years, I started doing lay witness missions and I was just having a hard time just trying to wrestle through some of these things. You know how those things are in college. And I found another brother in Christ who lived in Bloomington. We would get together twice a week at six in the morning to pray and just to share. And I remember in sharing with Greg, I'd be like, look, this is what's going on. And sometimes the sharing wasn't just all wonderful and great. It's like, man, it's so difficult. He'd share the same things. And it felt so good to find someone else who's like, yeah, I understand. It's difficult to try to remain pure in a society that just glamorizes everything and has reduced any type of a physical reaction to just some kind of meaningless transaction. It's hard in a society that glorifies, sexual relations in such a very promiscuity and lots of different things. It's hard to sustain purity through those times. It's difficult. But accountability is essential. Accountability is essential. And to that end, I remember feeling, and I would imagine I've heard in talking with some of our unmarried as well here, that sometimes Satan tries to isolate us and feel like we're all alone and feel like that there's no one else who gets where we are. And I would say, don't allow Satan to isolate you. Don't allow Satan to divide you and think that you are alone. Honor your calling to God. Honor your calling to God wherever you are. Now to the married in the room. I have this counsel, this advice, this plea. Be sensitive to the needs of the unmarried around you. Be sensitive. It's important because once again, we are all part of the family of God. And we are all called to support and called to encourage one another and called to walk with one another. We are all called to do that. And sometimes we don't do a good job. I will admit that. And so what we should do is to look for opportunities to be encouraging. How many of you in this room today would like to be part of an encouraging church? How many? I want to see your hands. If you'd like to be part of an encouraging church. Anybody? Come on, wave them real high. Okay. Now, here's how that happens. You be an encourager. I'd like to be part of a friendly church. Welcome to church. Doesn't work that way. Here's why. Ready? Really deep, deep, deep sentence I'm about to say. You are the church. So how you are, the church is. A prayerless church is because we are prayerless. An ignorant church is because we refuse to get into the Word of God. A church that won't grow and evangelize is because we won't share Christ. Well, preacher, that's your job. No, it's my job, yes, and it's your job. It's our job, right? And so in terms of being an encouraging church, we all are called to encourage. Now, some of us will have the gift of encouragement. Some of us will have a prophetic gift where we can encourage, we can really minister, and we'll have empathy. Some of us maybe struggle in that area, but it doesn't mean we're not called to walk with one another. Maybe that's how we grow. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 32 through 35. Paul writes some pretty wonderful things, continuing. I want to be free from anxieties. I'm sorry, I want you to be free from anxieties. The unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord. But the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife, and his interests are divided. And the unmarried or betrothed woman is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to be holy in body and spirit. But the unmarried woman is anxious. I'm sorry, but the married, boy, I'm just having trouble today. But the married woman is anxious about worldly things, how to please her husband. I say this for your own benefit, not to lay any restraint upon you, but to promote good order and to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. So my kind of the last thought here today is this, is that the unmarried have a unique freedom to serve. And again, that doesn't mean that married people can't, but I'm kind of tired of this feeling that that just because you're not married means you're an immature Christian. And just because you're not married doesn't mean that you shouldn't just be really serving Christ, and that somehow serving Christ is just for married people. That's not correct. It's not correct. And I really grow tired of, especially, you know, I remember being able to, you know, in my early 20s, you know, prior to getting married, going out at 2 in the morning to not to party and not to club, to go out at 2 in the morning and to really preach and to do evangelism before I had other responsibilities. Okay? It doesn't mean that I'm yoked. I have a responsibility to my wife, right? And I tell you what, the elders of the church have been very, very good to challenge me at times that I have gone, that I have not done a good job in balancing, that I have looked, sometimes I've put my church responsibilities over my marriage. And those times, thank you to the elders of the church who say, you shouldn't do that. Right? You have a responsibility and a priority to your spouse, right? Everybody should, please listen to the last several weeks of permits if you don't get that. Okay? But what it should mean is also, I remember earlier that when I didn't have those responsibilities, which I'm thankful for. I'm thankful for my wife. I'm thankful for my children. But they take a lot of time, right? Anybody else? I'm not thirsty. Okay. The deal is, gang, to our unmarried, please, how can I say this without being offensive? It's not playtime. You have a calling of God on your life. To our married, it's not playtime. You have a calling to everybody. I am nervous at what I see going on in the world. I am nervous. And I mean, and it gets me thinking, man, is the end, you know, coming kind of close here? I'm thinking, we got work to do. We have some serious work to do. There are people who need to hear Christ, and we're becoming more and more of an anti-Christian society because Christians will not share Christ. And as our, you know, in our marriages, we need to reflect Christ. Amen? And in our unmarriedness, we need to reflect Christ. So, to the unmarried have a unique freedom to serve. You are important. You are valuable. You're not immature. You're not unable to serve. But we are together, united to serve Christ. We are all together, the married, the unmarried, as a family of God. We need to do a better job of interacting. We need to do a better job of not just saying, oh, well, it's just married groups getting together. We're family, and family groups do things together. It's okay also to talk about your struggles. Don't let the devil talk you into the lie that you do not have a part in God's family until that stage of your life. You are uniquely able to give time and energy. And to that, I'm always going to say, man, the grass is always greener on the other side of the street, right? Yep. I've had conversations. I've asked the times. I've been guilty of that from time to time. You always want what you don't have. And be careful till you get what you don't want. All right? Don't miss the opportunity. So to the unmarried here today, don't miss the opportunity to serve. Don't miss the opportunity to be an example to Christ. Don't miss the opportunity to use the freedom that God has given you for kingdom things. And to our married, be sensitive. We are part of a family together. Amen? Amen. So 5 points, and that was not very long, was it? Do I get a thumbs up, Lainey? She's still not talking to me. Okay. Church, let's all stand to your feet. Let's have a word of prayer if we could. Father, I praise you for the wonderful, sometimes it's a mystery of being part of the family of God, and it's diverse and it's wonderful. Lord, I just pray especially today, encouragement for those today, who the unmarried today. Lord, I pray a blessing upon those whose spouses have gone on to be with you. Lord, I just pray for comfort and for continued healing, that they would understand how important, how valuable they are. God, I pray for those who have never been married and perhaps are looking that way, and sometimes the feeling of obscurity that can happen from time to time. I just pray a blessing. I pray an encouragement. I pray, God, that they would understand, just as your word has said, that they have an ability from you. I pray that they would see and understand their calling. Lord, I pray for those who've gone through relationships that have been damaged, and Lord, that are trying to go through a healing process. Lord, thank you that you're coming near to them, and Lord, you're allowing them to grow and to heal and to understand. And God, for all of us, I bless families in the church today. God, I bless the ability for us to be sensitive to one another's needs, to look to include one another, to look to build strong relationships here within your church. Thank you for each person here today, God. And as we move forward, Lord, let us all, no matter where we are, let us embrace the calling that you have given us to reflect your love to a world that so desperately needs it. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's children said, amen.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning there is Sunday school offer for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.